First, I want to start out. It's great to see everybody. Awesome. And to thank you guys for hosting.
Thank you gracious, for so gracious. Thank you
for teaching us.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So what I wanted to look at today is the subject of the Jewish calendar, specifically the Jewish leap year. Okay. So, and it's kind of cool this year we actually have a secular leap year. We have one day. We don't, one day is not enough for us. We need at least, so what's the issue? So we have a lunar calendar, but it's not a pure lunar calendar. And so that we, what we end up having is it's a 19-year cycle, and seven times in 19 years, you add a month. So this is Adar Rishon, and next month we're going to add on a full month.
So that means we don't have it again for 19 years?
No, no. Every seven. There's seven times in the...
So that,
and exactly, yeah. So it's a 19-year cycle. And in 19 years, you're going to have seven leap years.
So almost every 2 years.
Okay. So it's the different... So what we're trying to do...
Different leap years.
So, I don't even know how... I mean, I remember hearing class on it and I'm going... There's like this very brilliant rabbi teaching... explaining, you know, how it all works, fine. But what I can say is that the question is like this: why do we need the leap year? Okay, so because it's a lunar driven calendar, but it's not. But to be reconciled with the solar. And the question is why. So I always thought, and there is this opinion. That the reason why, anybody?
Ramadan is all the time, constantly moving.
And we're much, but the world's a better place when it's in the winter time.
Can you
the
give us an answer? All I heard was four people shouting.
Okay. So it says actually, this is what I always believe that this is the driver. And that is that. It says that the month of, let's say it this way, Pesach is the holiday of the spring.
Yeah. In the month of springtime.
Correct. So therefore, okay. So that's what I thought was the answer. Okay. Guess what, guys?
That's why we're having this class.
That's just one of the opinions, and so it ends up. This is just like I almost fell off my chair. Because there's the Rambam, Maimonides, and others, it sounds like actually it's the more popular opinion that that's not the driver.
What? Okay. How come that's the one we have all known?
I know.
The Jewish New Year would be a big problem, too.
No, the Jewish New Year is always going to be... Oh, you're saying when it would come out? It's always either later, or early or late. That's the Jackie Mason. It's never on time.
Well, Ramadan.
It's always changing, right?
All the way around.
Okay, so let's look at the Rambam. So if you guys want to open up, if you have Safaria, if you want to dial into this, I have it over here. It's the Rambam Mishneh Torah in the sanctification of the new month. So if you go into Safaria and you look up Halacha, Mishneh Torah, and then you scroll down into Zmanim, then the first chapter, he starts talking about it. Now, when you read this, again, if I would read this on my own, I would have missed it. I wouldn't have, the subtlety of the Rambam is such that it would be like, okay? And as a matter of fact, as you read the Rambam, you might have thought that his opinion was like what we said, that it's all about the month that Pesach should be in the spring, okay? So like this, it says here, the months of the year are lunar months, as implied, the burnt offering of the month when it is renewed, and it also says, this month shall be for you the first of the months. Concerning this verse, our sages commented, the Holy One, blessed be He, showed Moses in a vision of prophecy an image of the moon and told him, when you see the moon like this, sanctify it. The years will follow our solar years, as implied in Deuteronomy 16:1, keep the month of the spring.
So you're saying the lunar months, and then you have to keep the months of the year are lunar. Go by the lunar calendar.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Could you say it again? Because I'm on Safaria.
Okay, so go to Halacha. It's the fourth one down, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, Halacha, Mishneh Torah. is the first one, and then you go down to Zmanim, which is, and then sanctification of the new month. It's like you have to scroll down, like it's like the.
It's not. Forget it. It doesn't matter.
You go.
Okay.
Just log on to his thing.
I don't have one, and that'll take.
Okay, fine. So okay, so let's just so based on that reading, so it gets a little bit confusing because on one hand he's saying here, he says the months of the year are based on the lunar. Okay, good, nice. HaChodesh Elachem, Rosh Chodeshim. And that the rabbis told us that God showed Moshe, showed Moses, here's what it's supposed to look like. And that, when it's that, sanctify. That must be like when that little sliver comes out, that's the time to do it. Now, the years that we keep, they're like the sun. So that the years are actually counted by the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, and then he says, Shamor et Chodesh Aviv. So when the Rambam threw that in there, I'm like going, okay, so he must hold like that also, right? Go to the next paragraph. Then he says, the second halacha, how much longer is a solar year than a lunar year? Approximately 11 days, right? So we say it's 354 to 365, 11 days. Therefore, to correct the discrepancy between the lunar and the solar calendars, when these additional days reach a sum of 30 or slightly more or slightly less, an additional month is added, causing the year to include 13 months. This is called a full year, or we call in Hebrew, shana me'aberet, like a pregnant year, okay? There you go.
It says the OBGYN.
Now listen to this. She'i eshar liyot hashana shneim asar chodesh, because a year cannot be 12 months for kach v'kach yamim and a couple of extra days. Like it's not like the calendar that we have we have the solar calendar that has an extra day in the year, or let's add on. No, it has to be l'chodesh hashana. It always has to be in months. We do. It's either months. Here, just mute that.
So, Jonathan, if you added a month, wouldn't it be more than just the 11 days to give
it? Yeah, of course, exactly.
That's why they don't do it every year.
Right. Every two to three years.
Right, so that's exact. So within a 19-year cycle, right. Seven times. Okay. But what's interesting is that because the Torah says that you can never count, it has to always be in a month.
Right. You can't do half months, you can't do days.
It has to be either a full month or bust.
Okay,
fine. Now it says, Shenemar lechadshe hashana. It says for the months of a year. Chadshem atamona leshana ve'ein atamona yamim. So you always count in months, not days. Okay. Now, so the Rambam is learning this idea. Actually, if you now take the second halacha, what he's saying there is that, you know how you know that you have to have leap years, an extra month that's added on in this cycle? You learn it from the fact that it says for the months of the year. And the Rambam in the first halacha was set us up for this idea that when it comes to counting months, time, we use the lunar cycle. Thank you. That's the word. Thank you. But when it comes to years, there's no such thing as a year when it comes to the lunar. It's just months. Mm-hmm. It's just a monthly cycle. But when it comes to, so therefore, years can only be based on the sun, the solar cycle. Okay? So then I give a class. I have a friend. We study on a block, and he's got this adorable dog, and he's on the table like this.
Let's learn.
I'll tell you, these holy dogs.
No problem.
Okay.
So I'm like, just a little lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, did I miss anything?
Not yet. No, hold on. We're just starting.
Okay.
So now, now you have this idea of counting time with months, as we see a cycle. That is the moon cycle, mm-hmm. the lunar cycle. And then, but when it comes to figuring out a year, there's only one thing to look at, and that's the sun. Okay? So the Rambam is telling us that you learn the idea of this, how to reconcile the two from the fact that it says in the Pasuk somewhere, L'chodshei Hashana, for the months of the year. Mm. Okay? Now, okay, right? So the thing is that when did that, when did God give us this? It basically, it sounds like it's a tzivoy, it's a commandment that you have to make these leap years, that you have to reconcile these two cycles. Do you know where that mitzvah is given to us?
As soon as we come through the...
At Sinai.
No.
When we leave Egypt.
No. Interesting. But no. But close. Interesting.
What did he say?
He said Bereshit. Okay. So, which is interesting because, so where is it? So, the first mitzvah that Hashem gave us
is to have a calendar.
Make the calendar.
But that was in Egypt as we're leaving.
Correct.
Before we leave.
Okay. Well, the first mitzvah, okay?
Right.
In the first mitzvah of us having to start now keeping track of time based on the moon, in that same thing, according to the way the Rambam learns, God actually gives us the tzivoy, the commandment to actually do leap years as well.
Because he refers to a year.
So where is that in the Torah?
In Shemot. Exodus 12.
Okay.
Here, so let's look at
Because if you're talking about a lunar calendar, there is no year. It's just, correct. It's just months. So he's referring to
to be solar. Okay, so if you look at, I just pulled this up here.
Okay.
It says here, this is chapter 12 in Exodus. It says, this month shall be to you, the head of the month, to you it shall be the first of the month of the
year.
And years have to be connected to the soul, okay?
But is that what it says in Hebrew? Because I
don't know. Okay.
Does it use the word year?
Yes, it says, exactly.
So, yeah.
Okay. Now, this is, okay, so I want to tell you guys, I'll tell you like this.
That's just an English interpretation.
I'm taking out, I'll put money on the table. If you go and you start questioning people, when Hashem gave that first mitzvah to you, to the Jewish people, what was the commandment? 9 out of 10 people will tell you he just gave us one commandment, the idea of Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
This idea of the Ibor Shana that's in it, that there actually is two things going on, 95% of people will say,
this is the first I hear of this.
Exactly.
At this point.
Okay, good. There you go. Okay.
Is your 95%?
Right? Total, okay. Now.
We're 1%ers.
You're in a very exclusive club, and whoever ends up hearing these ideas, they are now have been.
Does Rashi or anybody pick up on it
So the Gemara, so the Gemara in Megillah and other places talks about this issue of the year to the month, that issue. So the Rambam, Ram doesn't pull anything. It's all based on that. Right? So if you go to the Rambam. And the notes say, Caleb, Maimonides wrote this incredible book, but he doesn't tell you where he derives things. So a lot of the commentary on the Rambam is trying to figure out where did he get this from, the derivation. So in that, they point you to the Talmud that it's discussing there in a couple of places, this issue that they're picking out. The subtlety of the language is so important. It's so subtle because here we just think, and now all of you we're all in the same, we've been opened up to this amazing, and we have to understand what the ramifications of this is, okay? That not only did Hashem give us a commandment to say, now you are going to start your journey, okay? And you as a people are going to start looking at this world and counting the time based on how the lunar cycle. But in that same commandment, he says, but you know what you have to do? You have to take that and you need to incorporate it. You need to bring that together with the solar. Okay?
All because of that one sentence, and to you it shall be the first of the months of the year.
Yes.
Right? That's it.
Yeah.
Does it have to do with living in the world? We're not just on our own. The Israelites or the Jews are just
good.
Not
good. Okay. Good.
So the rest of the world is solar.
How do Muslims count years? Do they count years as?
I was driving last week. I'm listening to the radio, and they started talking about
Ramadan.
No, forget about Ramadan. That there's a. There, it's the. It was. They're celebrating the lunar year. The Chinese Lunar Year.
Chinese New Year.
When does it start? It starts mid-month.
Right.
It's in the middle of, I'm like going, that's the opposite of, you know, like.
No, what a full moon.
Right, right, right. Okay, which, by the way, we do celebrate a lot of our holidays on that. Okay, fine. But I was like, I got to do more research. I haven't had time to look into it. But it was like, you know, okay, fine. So you already said something about the idea of...
Well, yeah, because, I mean, look, we got the commandment to recognize and mark time because as slaves in Egypt, we didn't have control over our time.
Right.
We're now being told you're responsible for your own time and to keep track of time.
Right.
And, but on the lunar, okay... But we have to actually live in the world with the goyim. So
okay, so let's understand time. Okay, let's just talk about the concept of time. So time really is just this continuum. The way we experience it is this from the beginning of time, or maybe there was no beginning of time. There's just
great book. If you want to delve into what is time?
Beginning of time.
It's called The Timekeeper by Mitch Albom.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay, so when we think about time, it's linear. It's just like it always was, always will be type of thing. That's at least how we feel. Unless we stop and start to think about it in a deeper level, when we do look at it in a deeper level, what we realize the first and that. But Hugh just walked out. But here, this is a plug for you. You know, I can't believe it. Is that. The beginning, the most important thing from one of the most important fundamental ideas, concepts in Judaism is Bereshit. That when the whole, like actually one of the things that is being played on between this first commandment and the first Rashi asks the question, why would the Torah have to start from the creation story? Let's get it going from when the Jews leave Egypt because that's when everything starts. And the Torah is not a history book. As much as it's giving us a guidebook, right? So let's start from the first mitzvah. Just starting now,
right?
So let's start from there, and then Rashi says something amazing there. But the first thing before that is that Bereshit. It says God created that. There are different ways of understanding that line. There's actually there's the Tikkuni Zohar that has I don't know, it's like endless amounts of ways to understand just the word Bereshit. But one of the ideas is that God created time. He created a beginning so that there was nothing. And then we have this going from zero. We call it from yesh me'ayin, from literally nothing into something, right? This shift from from nothing to from zero to starting. So he created time, a beginning point. Now, what's the significance of having a beginning? And in Hebrew, it's zman. So we say hazmana, I'm very familiar with that, you want to get a reservation.
Comes from the whole.
Yeah. So the idea is that when in the word zman, it means that we're going towards something. The only way that works is when you have a starting point. If I start something, I'm going to something, right? And that's the whole concept. So therefore, when Hashem started and created a beginning, it's for us to go towards something. That it's not just this continuum, it's always been going, but rather there's a start to go to a goal.
It means you have to be finished.
Correct. Okay? So the whole premise of creation, the creation story, is this idea that we're going towards something. We have a purpose,
a goal.
Okay? And so that idea of our looking at the lunar and having this beginning and then grows and then goes away, only to be reborn again. That constant renewal is this idea of from the beginning of time, Hashem started a beginning thing to go to, and then every month we can tap into that constant renewing. But it's the idea of time as not a continuum, but a starting point to get to a goal. Okay, so we're on a mission. The world was on a mission. Hashem said, "I'm starting this thing to go towards this purpose, whatever this goal is, we're on this mission." And then when we come out of Egypt, and Hashem gives us this command of, "I want you to take control of time," it's because you're now starting from this place, and we're going somewhere. We're on a mission. It's like the Blues Brothers, we're on a mission from God, right?
God.
Right? So it's like you take the mundane and we sanctify it, right? So like, you know, but like the idea, we're on a mission and Hashem is taking us towards this, okay? So now, the idea of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, the idea of taking the lunar and having that cycle of time and counting time that way, but now, if I take the Ebor, this idea of the leap year, what I'm doing is, what does it say? There's nothing new under the sun?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So the solar is more of that idea of the continuum of time that has no change. Shana, the year in Hebrew, is that idea. It's just repeating. It's always the same thing over and over again.
But why is the month like this?
Hmm?
But why is the month different then?
The month has, it literally disappears. The way that we experience the moon, right? It's constantly, like we call it the molad. It's like a rebirth, right? That this. So now, like you said, so then what we're doing is we're taking this idea of time that has a beginning and a goal, and now we're going to try to infuse it or somehow put that together with the solar. The solar, that nothing, there's no change there, and I want to, and the way the world operates, mm-hmm. and I want to take this, and our goal here, and the first mitzvah that God gives us as a people is not just now. So what now we understand like what's really being like thrown in here. It's not just that you have a new way of capturing time and how you live your life based on that, but you have a second thing. The second directive is that we have to take this concept and we need to infuse it into the solar world, into the world where nothing's ever new. And we have to take that and bring this and mesh it together. That's the idea of the leap year. Now, I want to look at this Rashi. The first Rashi that really is like groundbreaking is he says like this, and this is, I never understood it until I heard this, and then we're going to add on something that I learned this Shabbos, that the guys from, I was in Nashville, and I end up at this shul, and when I got this schedule from my company, and I'm looking at it, I'm going, it's like the last meeting is at Friday afternoon. So wait a second. Wait, can I get to St. Louis? Can I get Shmuel here? I'm like, oh my God, I'm in Nashville for Shabbos. Mm. And then I thought maybe I could get Shmuel there, and then we figured out it was just too crazy. So Hashem wants me to be in Nashville, okay? And it was a very interesting...
You were in Bel Mead?
Huh?
Were you in Bel Mead?
I was in downtown.
Downtown.
At the Gulch? Gulch?
The Gulch.
Gulch,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is a made-up word for... I forgot he told... Okay, but it used to be like this valley part, and they built it. Now it's like a high, whatever it is.
No, it's not a gulch anymore.
No, not at all. And so basically, so now there was a group there, Israel 365, which is a group of that actually does a lot of work on with working with the Christians for Israel. And so Rabbi Tolly Weiss was one of the people that he's the founder. He was talking about his organization. And he kept on quoting a pasuk from Deuteronomy 11:12. Okay, let's just look at Deuteronomy 11:12 is, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota Tamid Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mereishis Hashana V'yad Achris Hashana. Okay, so and the land the Lord your God looks after. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Mm. And that's why they call it Israel 365. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to come back to that pasuk in a second, okay? Because you'll understand. I'm going to explain to you why the significance of that pasuk.
We're on a lot of trips here.
We are. you got to keep your seatbelt on, okay? Now, this is... Okay, so this is... The first Rashi on the Torah is... So I heard this... years ago already, and different people explaining this idea of like how important the first mitzvah that God gave us is like an amazing thing, because it's about the idea of time, mm-hmm. but it's the idea of being able to constantly connect to the power of Chiddush, the idea that we can constantly tap into renewing ourselves, that gets, you know, whatever stuff is going on, that you can every month. And the women are more connected to this because you biologically have this cycle internally, so like you can connect to this. But this idea of constantly coming back and renewing And that is an incredible thing that we always have to realize, no matter what's going on, just pick yourself up, because you can always start again. There's always that incredible, and so it's Rashi, in the first Rashi, he says like this, Rav Isaac said, it was not necessary to begin the Torah except from this month is to you, right? Which is said, Chodesh Elochem, which is the first commandment that the Israelites were commanded. For the main purpose of the Torah as its commandments, and although several commandments are found in Genesis, for example, circumcision and the prohibition of eating the thigh sinew, they could have been included together with the other commandments. Now, for what reason did he commence with in the beginning Bereshit? Because of the verse, now listen to this verse. This is coming from Psalms 111. Koach masav higid lamo batet lahem nachlas gayim. The strength of his works he related to his people to give them the inheritance of the nations. So again, koach masav higid lamo, God gave us the power of his ways, which is the creation. So he gave us the power of creation, mm-hmm. which is this idea of being able to renew. And then the pasuk in Psalms adds on to give them the inheritance of the nations. It's like that idea of the connection between creation and giving us
right now being what, like a light unto the nations.
Well, so no, so I never understood. I couldn't understand, like, so David HaMelech or whoever the psalmist is connecting the power of creation to giving us the land of Israel. That's a Nachlat Gayim, okay? And then this famous Rashi, which no one understood until the last 100 years, for if the nations of the world should say to Israel, you are robbers, for you conquered by force the lands of the seven nations, i.e. the land of Israel, Canaan, they will reply, the entire earth belongs to the Holy One, blessed be He. He created it. This is what we learn from the story of the creation. He gave it to the whomever He deemed proper when He wished. He gave it to them, and when He wished, He took it away and then gave it to us. Okay, that's Rashi. So no one understood that Rashi. Imagine, only till like 100 years ago. Now you have the United Nations
they're formally robbers, occupiers.
Right, right. So right, so like
it's an occupation.
Right, so it's listen. It's like a very heavy. It's like the idea of like you know like you. Okay, fine. So like 100 years, 200 years ago, no one understood Rashi. Now it's like of course, right. But the question is, this line from the Psalms, right? So again, it says there, the strength of his works he related to his people to give them the inheritance of the nations. So he gave us the power of creativity, taught us that lesson, to in turn then give us the inheritance of the nations. So what is this inheritance? Nachlat Gayim, what is this thing?
Okay, the solar calendar. Okay.
Okay. So Rav Moshe Shapiro... And I'm not sure who he bases it on, but like the idea is exactly so I never understood like what can A, how does A this idea of the solar and this whole idea that that's our first mitzvah connects us back to the creation story. You got lucky, right? So that somehow those two are coming together, but that in turn has to deal with this idea of Nachlat Gayim, this idea of the inheritance of the nations. But so what do the nations inherit? So but then if you talk about this idea of the solar, the ways of the solar calendar, the mindset that you'd have as one who keeps years, and the idea of the continuum of time, that there is nothing. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. That's a halacha that says that if a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, they're actually chayav misa. They get punished with death. No, like that's pretty harsh. Okay, that's always a joke. You know the joke. This is like a funny one. This guy, he was looking to convert, and he started keeping Shabbos, and then he looked like he kept it totally. So the guy said, "You know, you're not allowed to do that until you actually formally convert." He goes, "Yeah, don't worry, I carry." He said, but there's the Arab. He goes, I don't call it the Arab. So the way that's understood is that because in if you look at time, there is nothing that says that there's a Shabbos. It's because God said there's six days of creation, the seventh day he rested, and I'm giving it to you guys as a gift. So for anybody else to come in here. And like, it's there's nothing in time that says there's Shabbos. So you don't have a place here. It's not for you. So like, what is yours? The solar, this under the sun, this world is theirs. Comes the Jewish people. Hashem says, you're going to start out, guys. This is the beginning of your journey. You're going somewhere. You take time and you look at it from the perspective of the moon and everything that that represents, the idea of rebirth, renewal, and that you're starting and going towards a goal, right? That's where you're, that's your, but what is it? Now, this is like the whoa, is that when Hashem gave us that directive, what we learned today is he said right there, leap years, guys. You need to take that power and you need to bring it to the world. And you need to incorporate it into the solar. As a matter of fact, transpose the idea of the lunar cycle into the solar cycle. Chodshei Hashana, the months of the year.
So it's like elevating what's, elevating the normal or elevating the...
Our job is to impact the world in this... But the crazy thing is that Hashem, in that first commandment, actually told us both of these ideas. And that explains this line in the Psalms that I never understood, didn't understand the flow. What does one thing have to do with the other? But the answer is, again, he taught us the power of creation, which is this what we call the idea of keeping time, the ideas that are incorporated in the lunar cycle, keeping things like that. But that to give them the inheritance of the nations is that, no, it's more than that. It's like, you guys, guess what? Ora Lagoyim, you're the light of the nation. No, you have to bring this concept into the solar. And how do we do that? By creating this leap year cycle. It's months that you have to add into every so often, every 7 years within that 19-year cycle, you're creating an extra month because you're now going to reconcile the lunar with the solar. And Hashem gave us that commandment day one. It's incredible. Like, it's not just, oh, you have to make sure that Passover is in the spring. Nice idea. But it's much more powerful. Is that Hashem day one was saying to us, you need to take this concept and you need to incorporate it into the solar cycles. Okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. But
yeah?
It's too high in terms of what you're saying. You're putting it in there. So why is that elevating?
Because you're basically changing a world that's just the same, never changing.
Every month.
And you're now coming in and saying, this world is constantly, it's dynamic, changing, and you need to realize that it's not the same. It's not always the same.
You have to live by this cycle. You have to live by this cycle.
By the lunar cycle, but infuse it into the solar cycle.
Exactly.
Is it always the Adar that gets added?
Yes. Yes.
So this there's like six questions here.
Okay, let's go.
So the first question is,
you get one.
Why couldn't God just make it so that the solar and lunar always came out the same? Why did he make it go off by 11 days? Why make this ridiculous math that's never going to work and you got to figure out that? That's one question. Second question is, why on earth is it Rosh Hashanah in September? Why is not Rosh Hashanah in the beginning of the year, as it says? This is the beginning of the year. Why do we do Rosh Hashanah in September?
So it's a good question. The Gemara there that actually talks about this issue, this idea of never count by, you can't add days. It has to be a full month. In that discussion, there's another, again, it has this idea of the cycles that you should celebrate Rosh Hashanah from the creation of the world, which our tradition says it's in Tishrei. And so that based on the way that the Psukim read. It's like straight.
One is the beginning, celebrating the beginning of the year. One is celebrating the beginning of creation, I guess.
And then it becomes this whole thing that there are these two opinions as to when was the world created. Was it created in Tishrei or Nisan? And so everything has. So
there's a third beginning of the year too, right?
Well, yeah, there are other Rosh Hashanahs, but that's right.
Only two opinions.
Only two opinions. Two comments. Right.
By the way, Hugh, the Earth is round, not flat.
Just to make it on a simple level, Michelle, what I'm thinking is it was another way that God separated the Jewish people from everybody else. He gave us this special you know, another thing to follow, another
a way to look at time.
Right, but this is really the idea of what happened when we left Egypt. Now the thing is like this: there's another layer to this.
But they could have put this extra month any time during the year. Why Adar?
Okay, so that's...
Well, the Adar is the month of joy.
Joy and happiness.
Okay, so,
so it's forcing the Jewish people to have joy.
It could be.
Again, it's that... It's
it could be the Pesach.
It could be that. I mean, it's these are good questions. I think the idea that this... The way that this play between the solar and the lunar is, you know, once you lay it out this way, it kind of makes... It makes a lot of sense in terms of how you, you know, taking two... conflicting or two very different ideas and saying, okay, guess what, guys? This is your job. Figure out how to bring it together.
So, I'm thinking of that something, you know, date back to creation when God says, I'm going to make two ma'orot.
Well, that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are good, you going to talk about
it? No, so
I was thinking about this before.
Okay. Two luminaries. I was going to make two great luminaries in the sky. I was going to make the sun and I was going to make the moon. And then the Midrash talks about this whole conflict between the sun and the moon, and says, I want to be the greater, right. I want to be the greater. And, you know, because the Buddha is complaining so much, he makes a, he says, you're going to be the reflection of the sun, and then he diminished the moon to make the sun. And I'm just almost thinking, like,
They're both great luminaries.
They were supposed to be equal, right. and in the end, the moon became the lesser, but maybe
but
this
it said,
whole
what does
concept,
it say at no. the end? It says at the end of time right. that they're going to become equals, or they'll right. become equals again.
But I think in one of the things I studied, it said it's not lesser; it has more opportunity for the renewal.
Because it reflects.
Right. It's
a reflection. Yeah. We are a reflection of the sun. But the concept, but maybe the concept is that we're striving
to get to that. We're trying
to get that equality between the sun and the moon back, and maybe that's why we have to, you know.
Right, but so no, I started going there. So, but I wanted to, because of what happened yesterday, this got me a little bit going here. I'm the plane back.
Okay.
I started thinking about what he said, and then I go, oh, let me, you know, last night I flew back.
So this whole class changed.
So where did you have a
flight from?
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was great. No, wait, hold on, let me just, okay, so the question like this, but it still doesn't answer, so what does this have to do with the land of Israel? Right, because it says Nachlat Goyim is the, but this has, it's all coming to the land of Israel. Now, when I saw this, like these ideas, I was looking in the context of Rav Moshe Shapiro presented this idea that normally we have this. There's a concept that when you read the story, the weekly portions that are related to the Exodus, so it becomes a time of, I don't know if you Shovavim, you heard that this idea of doing like tshuva, repentance time. So when you read Shemot, Va'era, Bo, B'shalach, Yitro, Mishpatim, that's Shovavim. Shemot, Shovavim. In a leap year, they add on tough Truma, Tetzava. Okay, so it makes it, because you have more time, let's do more tshuva, right. I don't know. Right, but it's not, but it's because so Rav Moshe, it's based on the Shla, he says that it's this idea that now we're going to take it into Mishkan. Truma Tetzava is the Mishkan. It's the building of the tabernacle. So we're going to take Exodus, the Torah being given, that's the normal one, and on a leap year, we're adding in Mishkan. Okay, but the question really is that this idea that what Rashi's saying at the beginning there is that God gave us the power, the secret of the power of creation to then give us the land of Israel, basically. We understood it as it's that we're going to take the lunar and bring it into the solar. That's Nachlat Goyim. But then the question is, what does this have to do with
Israel.
Really the land of Israel? And so then that brought me to this line that he kept on saying, Israel 365. Right, it's Devarim Yud Aleph Yud Bein, right, 11:12. Right, so 11, chapter 11. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota. It's the land that God looks after. Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba. God's eyes are always upon it. Me Reshit Hashana Ad Acharit Hashana. The nature of our relationship that God has to the land of Israel is year from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So, my God, this is it.
Beginning
of the year.
So that's solar.
Correct. So God, that the way that God's eyes are on this is within the Nachla Gayim.
Never changing.
But it's the year.
Right.
But God relates to it on a constant basis.
Right.
How so? When we are there doing our thing and infusing the lunar, or say it differently, that the nature of Hashem's being is it's a constant renewing. It's constant chiddush. Hashem is the vitality of God. Is always, like we say, for example, that the world
renewing is lunar.
Correct, and that's exactly what this is.
But he's saying here, which is solar.
Einei Hashem Elokecha, God's eyes are upon it. So you're saying that, like this, the lunar,
right,
which is represented in God's being, is this idea of creation. God is in the. Just to take a step back, we say that this morning that every day God renews the world.
Right.
Every moment, the world is being the nature of. So this is a little bit out there, but the idea of Hashem's constantly renewing. It's like that's the nature of Hashem. We experience our existence as we're just going towards our end, our demise. Hashem is going the opposite. He's constantly, it's just all life. Mm-hmm. And so it's in a constant state of renewal. The chiddush of the that we experience at the beginning of every month is Hashem's eyes. And that's the nature of God. So Einei Hashem Elokecha, that God's eyes are on it from the beginning of the year, solar, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. always the same, mm-hmm. until the end of the year, but it's God's eyes.
Eyes of the lunar...
is God. And so in this pasuk, that's the idea that the Jewish people were tasked, and really think about it. When we came out of Egypt, our whole purpose was to go where? To the land of Israel. Because God said to Abraham, he said, I'm giving your kids the land as an inheritance to do something with it, to go and to make things, to become, and to the idea of the startup nation, like the idea of creativity, then it's a place of incredible vibrance, chaos. And vibrance, right? It's like Ha'aretzaytav Tova Vovachosha. The land got second, third line of the Torah. Second is that the world was in chaos. That place, the seat of creation, is the land of Israel. So now so when God gave us the power of His creation, it was this. He in essence handed over a piece of Himself and said, "Here, your task is to take this incredible power." And to incorporate it into the inheritance of the nations, i.e., the solar, bring the lunar into the solar, these concepts, and infuse them, and then we're in the land of Israel. And what's the nature of the land of Israel? God's eyes are on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, but it's God's eyes that are constantly playing into that. And that's where it's the place that comes together. So now, when we look at this year of the extension of the Ibor Shana, so when we are tasked to bring the two together, the idea the Shla says is that add on Mishkan. Add on the Mishkan to your whole Exodus story. What the Mishkan is a traveling place of God's presence that we're eventually going to take to Jerusalem. And that the temple, that place, is that houses it, and that the land of Israel is an extension of that. So the idea of us bringing God into the world is in this power of creativity, of renewal, of this vitality. And Hashem says, I want you to now infuse it into the world. That's our job. Okay? Does that make a little more sense? Yeah. A little better?
So the day they left Egypt, was that the beginning? Was that actually a Rosh Chodesh?
They
wouldn't have known about it.
So you know what? It must have been that directive was given on the first of the month. HaChodesh is
Alachem. They left Egypt on the 15th, the middle of the month.
Right.
But the beginning of the month already, that's it, almost the point where we say at the night of the Seder, Yachal Mirosh Chodesh, we might have had to start talking about the whole Passover thing from the first of the month, because it all started there. right? We didn't go out until 15 days later, right? But so that, but the, so the, so in terms of like the takeaway, there are a couple of things here. So when it comes to like the idea of, like when we look at this idea of a leap year, we call it the Sod HaIbor, the secret of the leap year, call it that. It's like a soft translation. But what do you mean the secret of? So one thing is that, yeah, it's just hard to figure out the calculation. So they actually, the precision of the of figuring out the exact reconciliation between the lunar and the solar, it's not so simple. Like, they, it's very exact, precise. Like when they, you know, so that, but I think that perhaps the Sod HaIbor, the secret of the Ibor, of the idea of a leap year, is this, is what we're talking about here, is taking these two very different ideas of a lunar cycle and what it represents, and the solar cycle and what that represents.
Oh, I see. The leap year has to exist to, in order to merge the two together.
Correct.
Otherwise, you just continue with the monthly thing or continue with the solar thing.
It's merging the two together. So it's like we're saying, and that's, okay? And that's the, the secret of the leap year is that.
I get it.
Okay? And so that, and that, and that in turn, what Rashi's teaching us when he brings that pasuk from the Psalms is that it's, where is that place? Where is that really tasked to do that? In Israel. And that that's our natural. So now, so when we're there, awesome. It's the tap into this. When you're not there, what do we do when we daven? We turn. We always have our hearts are there. So as Jewish people, wherever we are in the world, our task is to bring this power into the world, always, wherever we are. That's our job. Which I don't know if we, like, you know, people like going like, I know that today, like, I've been forced to realize that I'm different, I'm a Jew. So, okay, great. Now what? Right. And the point is that, no, this is Hashem from day one. You guys, I'm telling you what the deal is. It's about this idea of time, but also about the leap year, about Ibor Shana, about bringing these two things together. It's not enough, right? We have to, we appreciate it, but now bring that to the world. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of Israel. The land of Israel is the place, that's the makom, that's the place, and that's why in the leap year we add on Mishkan, because what Mishkan is a place for God's dwelling. You know where that is? It really ends up, Mishkan's just a traveling, it's meant to travel to where? To be, to Jerusalem, right? Because that's ultimately the place, so that that's where our task is to bring this, to our, you know, bring this concept into the world, remind the world, like, as deprived it can get, our job is to say, guys, you're so much greater. The people, the nations of the world, this is what we have to bring you. And, like, wake them up and realize, like, okay, you got to, you know, this is where we're going towards that goal of raising humanity to a much higher level.
Mm. What's amazing is that, you know, my whole life you'd think that a leap year is like an added-on corrective. Someone just figured out I got to correct it, so I got to add a leap year. Like, it's an accident and a correction, you know, the leap year, and it's nice. I mean, to see it from the beginning, there was meaning.
But from day one, I was like, and I was like, holy moly, like, the date when God gave us this commandment on day one, this was so much more than just this one thing. It's not just about the time, it's about infusing, or however you want to give it, but creating that mesh.
I guess we should have realized that, right? Because it being simple to just make the months come where they should be doesn't sound like an explanation that we would have.
Right, but you wouldn't. Right, but who's
right? It should be greater with much more meaning.
Correct.
Always.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. And
just
that's
took us a while to figure out.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, like, this is the idea of becoming an adult, like, right, as we mature, as you know, we should, like, our ideas,
our thoughts,
right?
So, like, setting up this calendar for the world is also, it's an analogy to then we're setting up an opportunity for us as Jews to do this, to do right by the world.
Yes.
By this, because there's a cycle here that we're in the middle of. There's a beginning and a middle and an end to this.
Yeah.
And that it sort of creates a mission driven thing.
A goal. Based,
yes.
A purpose,
yeah. So and that's global. and I think that's so now that we've gone through whatever this, like, October 7th, like, wake up call, but it's okay, great. But now it's like time to, like, okay. Yeah. You want to know what your admission is, like what you were here, like what we're here for. This is what we're supposed to be doing, and I don't think we really think this way, but we need to adjust to start thinking this way, that we have a job here, and it's a task. Like, the world needs a lot of a lot of healing, right?
So, okay, right. Now, one more thing that this is going to blow me away when I heard this. how did they know what the lunar cycle was? There's that it was 29 and three quarters.
And a half.
The Jews knew this way before NASA knew it.
Right. So that's what Hashem showed Moshe. It says that Hashem had to show Moshe. He couldn't get it. So this is clearly it was divinely.
But they knew the day. They knew the exact.
Exact. Down to the nanosecond.
It's 3-4 decimal points.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible. Yep. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.